Hello, 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 and a warm Wicca welcome to all of our witches, white lighters, and warlocks out there. My name is Clark.
And I'm Victoria, and you're listening to Charmed and Dangerous, a Charmed podcast.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the second half of season one. Oh my lord. And it's like a pretty good, like, welcome to the second part of the first season, wouldn't you think?
Oh, absolutely. This episode slaps. I loved this episode. And spoiler alert, our next episode, so make sure to tune in next week especially. Our next episode is going to have Clark's favorite demon in it.
Oh my god, it does, doesn't it? Oh my god,
yes, and it's does.
Episode 13. Oh my god, these fucking assholes. I love them so much. This is going to be great.
I just
got my second win. Let's fucking go.
I knew that would help. So, here's our summary. As always, Clark either writes it or reiterates it, and then I translate it. So, would you like to read it, or would you like me to read it?
I'll read it. Okay. There's a Wendigo, and the Wendigo becomes a Wendigo by getting dumped and then eating hearts. It's based on a legendary creature from Algonquin mythology. It was just essentially like a, what did I say earlier? A cautionary tale, discouraging cannibalism, which, you know, that's
and greed.
Cool. And greed, yes. And then it sniggity snatches Piper when a car breaks down, and then slices and dices her arm. And then she ends up becoming a Wendigo because I guess they just infect witches when they scratch them somehow. I don't know. And then Prue and Phoebe have to save Piper and Andy from the Wendigo that started everything, who's masquerading around as an FBI agent. And then Phoebe has to reunite a mother and her long-lost daughter because she started working at the thing with the friend and the sister. And then they melt the Wendigo's heart, and Andy survives. And the most important lesson that anyone can ever learn, one should always carry a loaded flare gun, you know, all times. You never know when you'll need it.
Yep.
Happy endings for all, except for poor, poor Billy. He got fucked up.
He got deaded.
He got deaded.
So, basically, in this episode, episode 12, The Wendigo. So, Piper's car breaks down in the dead of night, and she calls the San Francisco Auto Club to help her out. And then, right in a truly unfortunate series of events, a Wendigo sees her, decides that it wants to rip out her heart and eat it. Misjudges Piper's ability to climb into glass phone boxes and swipes her instead and then runs off because Billy, who is a secondary character of this episode, comes around with a flare gun. Cut ahead, Phoebe is working with Prue at Buckland's because she wants some extra cash and some extra experience.
Same.
Her crippling insecurities about working with her sister come to light but are quickly soothed by a lackluster talk from a very ill Piper.
Yeah.
They begin working at Buckland's together. Phoebe's doing a great job. She's categorizing stuff. She's making coffee. All of a sudden, she grabs a bracelet. Bada bing, bada boom. You have a little premonition from the past. She sees the past. She finds that it is a bracelet that connects a mother and a long-lost daughter, and that she must reunite them as they are innocents. Prue is just kind of living her life this episode.
Prue doesn't really do much in this episode.
Yeah, this episode mainly revolves around Piper, who gets swiggity swiped, and Phoebe, who is using her power for good.
I mean, don't they always use their power for good? Isn't that the whole premise?
Well, yes, but in this case, she's really doing it in this one.
Dude, I love Phoebe, and I love how caring and... am I using the right word? Altruistic, she is?
I would say so, yes.
Yeah, like, she just genuinely gives a shit about people, and that's pretty rad.
Yeah, altruistic, showing a disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others. Unselfish.
Yeah. There we go.
But yeah, it's a great episode. If you're watching along at home, I highly recommend that you... I mean, it's just such a good episode. We're gonna dig right in.
I wouldn't say it's their
in.
Best, but I think it's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
We kind of covered the Wendigo for the most part, just that it becomes a Wendigo by eating the heart of its, in this case, its lover, mm-hmm. Or the person who broke its heart. And then their heart becomes ice.
Yes. And then they become scary, scary stalking creature.
Or as Piper likes to put it, a mix between a werewolf and Charles Manson.
Yes. And in Algonquin mythology, Northern Algonquin mythology, it's a very similar premise, except it's usually associated with, like, heartbreak or greed. It's usually just someone who commits, like, a really evil deed, and then as they fall further into that deed and they crave human flesh, mm-hmm. and that becomes, like, their driving force or motivation, that's how you turn into a Wendigo, or that's how you become a Wendigo, or that's how Wendigos are formed.
Right.
Yes.
But let's transition pretty quickly into our talking points for this episode.
Absolutely.
I kind of want to cover the relationships in this episode first.
Of
because
course.
Because there's a lot of, like, small details put into this, particularly with Andy and the Wendigo / FBI agent, and then the sisters. I think the sisters had some really strong moments in this episode. I think, and this is the first episode that we see one of the sisters get turned into an evil creature.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the first, but definitely not the last time we will see this.
Nope, not the last. Also, it's so often Piper.
Yeah, Piper's got some issues, though, that kind of lead her to demon possession type stuff. But yeah. we'll talk about that at a later date.
Yeah,
but yeah, so we see Phoebe and Prue really bonding in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
First, when it comes to Phoebe not wanting to let Prue down because she got her a job at Buckland's. But then also later when we see this kind of admiration from Prue that we've never seen for Phoebe,
mm-hmm.
Because of what Phoebe does with reuniting, what's her name? Terry with her mom.
Yes.
It's really sweet to see them and watch Prue kind of discover a newfound respect for Phoebe, mm-hmm. that I don't think she had before.
And for Phoebe also to kind of, not only does she have, like, an amazing power that she is just starting to recognize as amazing, mm-hmm. but she also goes out of her way to look up information and to connect the dots herself and to do a lot of the legwork herself in order to reconnect this mother and her long-lost daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Prue definitely sees that as a strong point as well, because it's not just Phoebe, you know, using her power and then it gets dropped into her lap. She actually does the work and then reaps the reward, which I think
exactly.
is really, really cool.
Yeah, I love that about Phoebe, is that she doesn't just get the premonition and be like, well, I guess something else will come to me. Like, she got a premonition of a car crashing, and she took that all the way to reuniting a mother and daughter. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty awesome. And then Piper, the way that Piper interacts with her sisters in this episode, obviously she's not of sound mind because she's mm-hmm. under the Wendigo blood whatever.
Mystique.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Spell? Poison?
Sure.
Mirage.
Yeah. But, yeah, so she's under the influence, yes, of the Wendigo. Oh,
there you go.
And so she gets pretty snippy with her sisters in this episode, and they're like, no, what? Why are you like this? And they actually, I'll save that for favorite parts.
See, I would like to touch on that for just another second, because I thought that it was really cool that Piper didn't say anything that was wrong. She didn't say, like, she was being, uncouth and aggressive, but she didn't say anything that was incorrect. And I think that that was not necessarily just, I think that it was a combination of course, the influence of the Wendigo blood, but also, like, those emotions weren't just, like, non-existent. Like, those were resentment emotions. And Piper doesn't get to share her resentment often. She doesn't get to explode like Prue does, and she doesn't get to be overtly emotional like Phoebe gets to a lot of the time. Piper a lot of the time has to be the glue that holds the sisters together. And I feel very like a true. Lot of times that means that she's taking their problems upon her own chest. And so, she was right. Prue is bossy, and Phoebe can't hold a job, like, especially at this point in the series. So I thought it was cool to see kind of Piper show that other side.
For sure, yeah, definitely. What do you want to talk about next? What else do you think was important in this episode?
I think it was really cool that Piper did the legwork herself on the Wendigo as well. Like, she looked it up in the Book of Shadows. She continued to look. Billy was the person who saved her in one of the opening scenes. And they connect. Billy, unfortunately, his fiance was one of the first victims of the Wendigo. And so he had to watch her get her heart torn out. And then...
Yeah.
So he was obviously hurting from that. And then he and Piper connected for a little bit over that. And they were flirting a little bit as well, and it was considered that he might be a love interest. But Piper was really the one that gave Billy the information that was necessary for him to get his investigation off the ground. And then, just to kind of coast through this a little bit, so Billy takes a moment, and then he goes to further investigate and to share his investigations with Agent Fallon, who is the FBI agent on the case. And as she walks him back to his car, he reveals his information, and then he lights a cigarette, and his lighter, obviously, is a form of fire, and Wendigos are afraid of fire, and she freaks out, and he puts the dots together very quickly that Agent Fallon is the Wendigo, and she snaps his neck.
Rip, Billy.
Also, I completely forgot that she was the Wendigo.
Whoa, dead ass?
Dead ass, because I haven't seen this episode in a while. And so I was sitting there and I was like, wait a minute, I'm forgetting something. What am I forgetting? And then she snaps his neck and I was like, that's what I was forgetting. She's the Wendigo.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it's one of those plot twists that you either see coming from a mile away or is like a complete blindsight. And it just depends on who you are and how you really watch TV shows. But yeah, it is a pretty big shock. He like lights that lighter and she's just like, "Ooh!" And then she's like, "Oh, well, shit, I guess you have to die now."
Well, because he goes, "Son of a bitch," because he figures it out, and then she's just like, she just like whips out her Wendigo hands and smacks him. But if you did not see it coming, then it is I think it's a really nicely done plot twist, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, especially for, like, TV standards, I think it was a really, really nice plot twist, because it wasn't like she was dropping hints up until that point. You know, there were, like, subtle things, like, oh, random FBI agent is introduced, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, it also, it's because she felt like she was just a believer.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't feel strange that she was knowledgeable about all of it, because to everybody else, she just believed Billy.
Yeah, she was just offering counsel to a victim of a incredibly brutal crime.
Yeah.
And she also was so good at covering her tracks and, like, perpetuating ideas of what it could be or what the creature could be. And honestly, I know that Andy did his take on, like, the creature, like, all of the victims have been AB negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Billy's theory that she was, because she was in human form, she had a computer network, and then she would just stalk the victims up until that point, kill them, and then be like, oop, got another case to figure out, and then would just use that to find other victims, I feel.
Interesting. I always just kind of accepted the AB negative theory. I definitely think that that is what drew the Wendigo to her victims. Mm-hmm. I don't think she was outright stalking them, but that's just me.
Yeah, absolutely. But I really liked it. I also liked Andy's detective work in this episode.
As always.
He's just good. It's just a really nice aspect of his character that they don't drop the ball on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's consistent, and he was more open to it being a creature, and then he also, when he was less open about it being a creature, immediately provided evidence of, like, it's a ritual killing, it must have reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... he was just a good detective, and he was also incredibly professional, because the Wendigo does come on to him quite heavily.
Yeah, like, really strong. Like this bitch a hoe. Like, she come out and she go, I don't really care about relationships anymore. I'm just interested in sex. And he goes,
and he's like,
and she's like, yeah, we're just gonna leave that hanging in the air while we hunt this vicious killer. Like,
just like, so you
she's
know.
Not subtle at all.
And I wonder if it was like, I do wonder if it's a part of it is the AB negative thing, and then it's also that once she finds an AB negative victim, like with Piper, she just found her. She stumbled upon her. Her car broke down. Easy, easy. But with Andy, it was obviously like, I am going to figure out a way to get you alone so that I can murder you.
Yeah, but I also think that with Andy, it was, like, kind of a victim of convenience, because he was right there, he was AB negative, and she was like, well, time to go.
Like, well, easy peasy, I'm just gonna be sexy and make him think that I want to sleep with him, and then I'm gonna kill him.
Yeah, my dinner game to me.
That's what I call Uber Eats.
That was a good one. But let's talk... I want to kind of move past that, and I want to talk about some of the shenanigans that Piper gets into because of the scratch.
Yes.
So we learn that, A, Piper can't stand the sight of blood. We kind of knew that from before, but... yeah, she can kill, she can slay demons all day, every day, but nah. Blood? No thanks. So she ends up in the ER, and she has these scratches on her arm, and they're not deep, everything's fine, but I think one of the greatest moments of this episode is the nightmare scene, when it's just presented as Andy coming to the door, and all of a sudden she turns into the Wendigo and kills him and then wakes up. And I think that it was done really well, because you don't for a minute suspect that it's a dream until it ends.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that they did a fantastic job with that. And then I'm going to cheat a little bit and talk about my favorite part of this episode. Because I love Phoebe reuniting, like, the mom and her daughter and everything, but oh my god, Piper's at work. She's chilling. She's having a good time. Well, that's false. She's having a very bad time because she's like
Wendigo
mad running a fever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like turning into a Wendigo, and the health inspector walks in and he's like, "Hey, I'm here to do an inspection." And she's like, "Oh, cool." And he's like, "Dude, are you sick?" And she's like, "Nah." But she ends up just basically putting her whole body in a freezer.
Yes.
Like, in not a walk-in freezer. Like, she's bending down into this reach-in freezer, and she's, like, holding frozen meat to her head because she's so hot. And he goes, "What are you doing to that meat?" And she's like, "Dying." And yeah. I can relate to that so goddamn much.
That and whole scene was so relatable.
It was hilarious because he basically, like, she's dying. She's, like, not, she's barely on her feet, but she's trying to convince this man's that their restaurant is food safe.
Yeah.
It's just a really genuinely funny moment, and I love seeing that. Because even though poor baby Piper is miserable, she can still bring us joy.
And it's so relatable as people who work in the food service industry, too. Like, the health inspector yes. comes, and you're like, "All right, well, everybody pretend that we've never done anything that's ever bad, ever, ever, in our lives." Also, quick question. When she was like, "We washed the dishes at 150 degrees, I was like,
115.
She said 115?
Yes. I'm pretty sure.
For some reason, that feels so low.
It's actually just warm enough to sanitize, but dishes, if they're only being washed with hot water and they're not being washed with sanitizer or anything like that, they have to be washed at, I think, 210.
Okay, that feels a little
like
bit
those
better.
Those big machines usually run at about 210, but yeah. when you're hand washing the dishes, anywhere between 110 and 115 is acceptable.
That's so weird. Just because Clark is still in the food service industry and still actively yep. works in the food service industry, and I've been out of work because of COVID, but I'm also kind of like working on a bachelor's degree right now, and a lot of the subject matter is like pathogenic bacteria. And a lot of it has to be, like, cooked at, well, you know, like, food-safe temperatures. So, like, 160 yeah. and above, you know that everything's dead. And it's just, like, insane to me. Because I hear, if I hear a number lower than 160, I'm always like, Clostridium botulinum spores.
Oh, my God.
No, but I loved in this episode, because it did, it felt like Phoebe and Prue's parts were very, like, heartwarming, we're looking for this, we're fixing problems, but Piper's whole experience was just on that edge of, like, horror.
Yes!
And I thought they did it so well, because after she has her problematic, like, her terrifying dream about her ripping Andy's heart out,
so
basically,
good.
Agent Fallon and Andy show up at her door, and she's like, "Go away!" And then they open the door, they give a couple pieces of information, they ask a couple questions. Fallon gives her the business card, blah, 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 blah. And then Piper takes off her bandage, and it's like her whole like forearm is covered in like Wendigo hair.
Yes.
As like a sign of the transformation. I thought it was just like really well done.
It's like hilariously dramatic, but also it's like not so dramatic that it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But it's a terrifying concept.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, did you want to talk about anything else in the episode, or did you want to share your favorite line or part since I already went there?
Let's see. I think, honestly, we've covered a good amount of it. My favorite part would definitely be, honestly, Piper putting her whole head in the freezer is,
yes,
is a pretty good one.
I don't think there's a single scene in this episode that tops that. Like, in the sense that it's the funniest. Like, there's heartwarming parts for sure, mm-hmm, but that's the part of this episode that, like, sticks out to you.
Yeah. This is not a very comedic episode, honestly.
No.
Though Phoebe delivers a couple good one-liners, this is definitely, like, a serious episode. So, for funny, mm-hmm, I would definitely say Piper's scene, but then, like, from a audience perspective and from, like, a consumer of, like, film perspective, I just thought it was so... The dream was so well cut.
Yes.
And then, you know, spring forward to her taking back the bandage. I just thought that that was, like, really well done. I thought that it had just that edge of, like, horror to it. Also, Holly Marie Combs did an excellent job acting in this episode. Like,
oh my god. There's another part. She, like, screams as she transforms into the Wendigo.
Yes.
It is so
bone-chilling. Bone-chilling. And so rarely, because, like, Piper, you know, Phoebe gets to experience, like, a lot of comedy, and she gets to do some pretty good monologues and express, like, some really fiery emotions a lot of the time. And Prue, I feel like, gets to emote a lot of, like, heart-wrenching sadness, or she gets to, like, portray this powerful woman. And I feel like Piper, a lot of the times, she is an amazing character, but I don't feel like Holly gets a lot of opportunities to, like, really, like, emote and be the star of a scene.
Yeah, I wouldn't
until,
say...
Until, like, a little bit later in the seasons.
Yeah, I'd say partway... I mean, longtime fans of the show will know exactly what I mean by this, but I think the end of season 3, beginning of season 4, is really that turning point for Piper's character and for, mm-hmm, Holly Marie to be able to portray her to her fullest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we'll talk about that later, obviously, as we get into season 3 and season 4. But... yeah, no, I definitely, it was really awesome to see Holly get to kind of stand out in this episode.
Did we have any personal gain this episode?
Yes, yes. I saw that you didn't put any down, and I only caught one, but they're all in the kitchen, and Prue uses her powers to turn off a... to turn off a burner because the pot's about to boil over.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of walking the 3.5 feet that it would take to get to the burner, she just used her powers.
Yeah, okay. That's one. And we are not going to count Prue using her powers during the auction of the bracelet because was for an innocence gain.
Yes. Okay, so that brings our total... for a personal gain counter to 25 in 12 episodes.
Yeah.
Could be worse.
Could be much worse.
And how many days has it been since we've seen Leo?
It has been 2 days since we've seen Leo.
Tragic. Absolutely tragic.
Absolutely tragic. And they tried to give Piper a new love interest. I mean, he died, but still.
I mean, rude. Like, it didn't last long, but, you know.
Yeah, just uncalled the principle. For. God.
And then, finally, out of 5 ice-cold hearts, how would you rate this episode?
I would give it, like, a 4.35.
Okay.
Or, like, a 4.35 to a 4.4 ice-cold hearts.
All right. Yeah, I'd say this was like a 4, maybe like a 3.8. I think it was a great episode. I think that it was very well put together, like, visually.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wouldn't say it's, like, one that I would go back to again and again and just rewatch all the time.
Mm-hmm. It still was very, it was an interesting episode. And I thought the pacing was super good on this episode.
I think they did a great job with this episode, for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think that brings us to the end of our episode today.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hey, Victoria.
Yeah.
Where can they find us on Twitter?
You can find us on Twitter at @charmed_podcast. Where can they find us on Facebook?
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/charmeddangerouspod. Where can they find us on Instagram?
charmeddangerouspod. And where can they find us on Gmail?
Yep. Any questions, comments, concerns, snarky remarks? If you just want to tell us who your favorite character is, go ahead and send us an email at charmeddanddangerouspod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you there. And I have gotten better about posting on Instagram, so there are some cool stuff on there. But final little thing. If you are listening on iTunes, please leave a rate and a review. We will read it on the air if you want us to, and it just helps us spread our podcast. We have almost 400 downloads, which is absolutely insane, and we wanted to thank you guys so much.
Oh, we are so happy.
It's incredible, and I can't believe that we've made it this far. But I think that ends our episode for the week. We will talk to y'all next week. Stay safe, stay healthy. We love you. Blessed be.
Blessed be.